Thank you so much, Pastor McLean, and so good to be here again with the New Testament Baptist Church family, and we've just had a great time this week. I want to express my appreciation not only to Pastor and his wife, Debbie McLean, the Trickies, the entire church family here for your hospitality and your generosity towards us. We've just enjoyed our stay, been treated like royalty. I mean, the hotel accommodations are wonderful, and the meal here at the church yesterday, and today we went out to Swiss Chalet, and I'll tell you, for some of these American men and their wives, this was their first experience at Swiss Chalet, and we initiated them right, got them into that great chalet dipping sauce, and but praise the Lord. And I understand someone in the church family paid for that meal for us today, and we want to express our appreciation for that. It really means a lot, and you know, for all of us, a little generosity and kindness goes a long, long way to encourage others and forward the work of the Lord. So we're just delighted to be here with you tonight, and Brother Bernard and I, we joined the board, the U.S. board, on the same day. And we have other things in common. We're born 11 days apart, the same year, 1961. I'm his senior by 11 days. And so that gives me the right to pick on him a little bit. I'm kind of the older brother now. You had that role when you were growing up. but I have a little presentation for Brother Kevin tonight. A number of years ago, and he was sharing with me, and of course, he has a wonderful heart for missions and Asia in particular, Southeast Asia and Thailand. When he had met me and knew I was from Canada and everything, he says, Brother Brian, you got to come to Thailand someday with me. You got to come down there. And he said, they have this coffee in Thailand. It's $50 a cup. And if you come down there, if you'll visit, I'll buy you a cup of that coffee. And then he explained to me the nature of that coffee. What it is they run these green coffee beans through the digestive system of an elephant. And once it's worked its way through, they retrieve the beans. And they make an incredible grind from that. It's $50 a cup. And he said, the best thing about it is that coffee, that idea originated with a guy who's a Canadian. And so now I have not yet had the opportunity to go over and make good on that. But Brother Bernard, if you come up here tonight, I have something for you. And it's actually, you know, a down payment. It's my earnest towards making that trip to Asia. Come on up. What I have, now, I pastored a church that's multicultural for many years there in Mississauga. And folks gave me all kinds of stuff. And I've got this little jar of Bali Luwak coffee. And it sat on my shelf for a little bit. And I picked it up the other day. I hadn't realized what it was before. But this is the exact same idea as his elephant coffee. Only this is run through the digestive system of an Asian palm civet, which is a relative to a ferret and a mongoose. And so I thought, man, that'd be the perfect gift for Brother Bernard. But then I got investigating a little more about this coffee, and they said, it's not $50 a cup, Brother Kevin. This is the world's most expensive coffee, fetching up to $100 a cup. And so that's my down payment for you. And we've got a pie fellowship after tonight, so I might join you and enjoy a cup together over a slice of pie. Right? All right, amen. Amen. All right, enough of the fun and games, amen. We're going to get into the Word of God. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read just a fistful of verses here, beginning in verse 36 and read down through verse 40. And you know how it is, those of you that are preachers, sometimes, you know, you preach in a meeting and you wrestle with what to preach. And, you know, you think you know that maybe the Lord's directing in a particular way, and then you're just a little bit uneasy with it. And I was with this message, and I really didn't want to preach this particular message this evening. But the more that I wrestled with that, the more that the Lord just convicted me. No, you know, Brian, that's the message I want you to preach tonight. And so I'm really not sure how that's all going to come together, what the Lord has for us. But I believe there are some powerful lessons that we're going to look at here. So if you have your place in the scriptures, then let's go ahead and read. And the Bible says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And of course, they're talking about the Lord Jesus in verse 39 and 40. A young Englishman had a dream. His dream was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathen and the hellbound of India. Unfortunately, many of his ministry peers back in England saw no wisdom in doing that. But William Carey, in 1793, departed the shores of England along with his pregnant wife and 3 small children, bound for the shores of India, a lifetime of missionary service. William Carey, of course, today is known by us as the father and founder of the modern missionary movement. But along the way, he buried not one, but 2 wives in India. The first of his wives became seriously mentally ill before her death. He also lost a son. After his arrival in India, he labored 10 long years before he had his first convert. And you might think, if you look at that, at a life from some of the early perspective of his ministry, you might say, here's a man with a dream, with a great desire, but he gets shot down by his peers. Maybe that's the death of his dream right there. But no, he goes on. His wife becomes mentally ill. It's not what he bargained for. It wasn't what he planned on. It wasn't what he anticipated. His wife dies. Maybe that's the death of his dream. But William Carey pressed on. And before his ministry was complete, he had translated and distributed the Word of God in whole or in part in some 44 languages and dialects. He established an amazing printing ministry, mission, and college work in India. With every successive failure and loss, his dream suffered a devastating blow. But William Carey pressed on to the glory of God. In Luke chapter 2, our text tonight, we find the record of 2 individuals who God preserved well into their elderly years. for the express purpose of testifying to Jesus just short days after his birth in Bethlehem. Simeon and Anna are rewarded in their sunset years with the joy of seeing the Savior with their very own eyes. What a marvelous thrill that must have been for them, amen? But think of Anna now. In all likelihood, this dear lady is well over 100 years of age by the time she sees Jesus. The Bible tells us she'd been married for 7 years at the time of her husband's death, and she had remained a widow for 84 years. When she saw Jesus, it was 91 years past the date of her wedding. Anna, whose name means grace, is the daughter of a man named Phanuel, whose name means the face of God. And Anna saw the face of God, didn't she? Luke tells us she was a prophetess. But Anna, for sake of illustration tonight, and the message and the point that I want to drive home, is also an example of someone who lost a lot in life. Some might even look at her as a woman who ended up with the second best and just somehow managed to bring good out of a bad situation. Yet when God is in the center of our life, the so-called second best is not that at all. Anna is a woman who demonstrates to us that what we might call second best is really God's best after all. And she proves to us that you can serve God even when your dreams have died. And that's the title of my message tonight, Serving God When Your Dreams Have Died. Lord, I pray that you'll just lead in this portion of the service. Father, we don't want to belabor points that don't need belaboring. Father, we don't want to miss emphasizing points that do need to be emphasized. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit might lead and guide, even in the communication of this message and the reception of it in each of our hearts and understanding. And Lord, whatever you desire to do in our lives, we'd give you the glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. We all have our dreams, don't we? I mean, it's about what we want to do, what we want to see, where we want to go, who we'd like to meet in life, what we'd like to accomplish, the particular life that we would love to lead. Maybe you have a dream tonight of some great accomplishments, the fulfillment of a specific purpose or vision in life. It's a career for many. It's a pinnacle of success for others. Many look for their dreams in finances and economics. They look for them in a career. They look for them in relationships. Some people want to fulfill their dreams through possessions. And sadly, many dream of that which is contrary to the will of God. But if your dream is a godly one, I just want to stop and say this for a moment, then dream on. And dare to dream great things for the glory of God. Don't let anyone say to you, it can't be done. Don't let anyone say to you, you can't do it. You're not the person for that task. We all have those Sauls in our life. Let's say you're just a stripling. You can't go out and do battle against that Philistine giant. But if God is with you, dare to dream big. Amen. And I want to say this even to the young people that are here tonight. I mean, how many of you are 12 years of age or less tonight? Can I see your hands? Let's hold them right up. Look at that. Okay, in the back, I know, yeah. Okay, and over here. Listen, you are not too young to dream great things for God. And I just want to encourage you to dream on. And envision and anticipate and pray towards God using you in a tremendous way. For Anna, like most Jewish girls of her time, fulfillment in life was really quite simple. It involved finding a good husband and rearing a family. And that day came for Anna. She married for 7 years. You could say she was living that dream. Now, we do not know, and we're not told whether she and her husband had children. We're not told the circumstances of her husband's passing, but it would have been devastating for Anna, as it is for anyone that loses a spouse in an untimely manner. And I want us to understand something tonight. Not everyone lives their dream. We don't get to live out every dream we have. I grew up, I'm a typical Canadian kid, grew up in southwest British Columbia. As an 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, I grew up in the days of Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito and all of that. I wanted to be a hockey player. You know, when I hit 40, I realized the dream was dead. we don't all get to live the dream. And the fact is that along the journey in life, there are some bad things that happen to good people. There's bad things that happen to God's people. Now, we understand, don't we, that Romans 8:28 is still in our Bible, and that even the supposedly bad things are really not that bad of things from eternity's perspective. But from our human viewpoint and our temporal understanding, they're difficult things to swallow. There's things that are difficult to overcome. But we need to understand that God's in control. You know, even within the context of the family of God, things happen. Relationships fall apart. Families have difficulty. There are economic strains that come into our lives. According to Hoyle's Michaelis, there are on average 40,000 consumer bankruptcies in Ontario alone and 100,000 across Canada. Disease and crippling injury can come into our lives. We're so blessed to have Brother Chris Wyatt with us, and he serves on our Canadian board. We thank God for him. Who would have thought that just a little over a year ago, Brother Wyatt would have suffered that devastating stroke? I'm saying that we don't all live every dream. We don't all get to fulfill every vision that's in our heart, even if it's a good thing. Along the way, circumstances and people change. Life's not predictable. Life is, we could say, not always fair. And sometimes those dreams even die young. We prayed at our board meeting for a pastor out west by the name of Lonnie Spence. He pastors the Victory Baptist Church in Langley, British Columbia, the church that the Lord allowed us to plant over 30 years ago. A year and a half ago, Lonnie lost his wife to brain cancer. This past Saturday, his only daughter, Rachel, went to be with the Lord. Her dream died young. She leaves behind a 4-year-old son, a 1-year-old son. Say, we look at that. Is life fair? From our human understanding, not always. And that's why the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I believe this is one of the important reasons why we read in the Ecclesiastes this verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we have our dreams. Those dreams can die. Vision seems to be put out or extinguished. But praise God if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The death of a dream is not the end of your life. Anna was able to live on after her dreams died. And whether you or I have faced mild disappointments or met with a crushing and devastating loss, God is there for you. Amen. And He's there right with you. And with His help, we can pick up the pieces. We can move on. We can live in victory. And you can still serve God when your dreams have died. There's an example of just how Anna did that in our text. In verse 37, it says that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And I find from that verse three things that you ought not to do when your dream seems to have died. You see, not everyone responds to tragedy like Anna did, but we can learn what to avoid through her positive and godly spiritual example. Be sure you don't do the following three things when your dream dies. Don't leave the house of God. It says she departed not from the temple. To depart is to draw away or to fall away. You have a dream, lying in smoldering ruins. Listen, now is not the time to withdraw yourself from the house of God, the local church, from the people of God. Don't just fall away or fade away. That was one of the saddest things for me as a pastor over 30 plus years to see, is that when folks sometimes went through some exceedingly difficult times, times when even I as a pastor did not have an acceptable answer for them. But rather than press on and rather than cling to God's promises and maybe just stay there within the fellowship of God's people, stay close to the fire, they faded and drifted and fell away. You see, when you desire it the least sometimes is likely when you need the church more than you ever have before. And that's why the Word of God says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't leave the house of God, and don't stop serving God. Dr. Burge could come up here and recount better than I can the many sad stories of missionaries that have given up and gone home, left the field, encountered some difficulty. Man, when they were coming through candidate training or they were on their pre-field ministry or going to the field for the first time, they were full of energy and zeal and the dream was alive. But their missionary experience didn't match up maybe with their expectations and they've gone home discouraged. I'm telling you, you can't stop serving God. We can't stop serving Him. Listen, He walked that difficult road to Calvary. Did He turn His back? Not once. He went to Calvary for us. And I'll guarantee you what Jesus did for us is far more difficult than anything we'll endure or attempt for Him. To serve, it's the Greek word latreo, means to minister or to render service in the sense of worship. God is still God, even when your circumstance change. And God's purpose in your life and mine is not to exalt us, but that through our lives His name might be glorified. And listen, when you are on the cusp of quitting, when you are at your lowest, and when you are the most discouraged, may I say to you, it could be right at that very moment that God's glory is most likely to break through and be revealed in your life. And you dare not quit. You can't quit at that time. You'll miss out on God's best. And we see that in Anna's life. We'll get to that in just a moment before we're through. So don't leave the house of God. Don't do that. Don't quit serving God. And don't quit praying. Anna, serve God how? With fastings and prayers. I don't need a whole lot more to say about that than what Brother Bernard said last night. Wasn't that a tremendous message on prayer? Such value of that constancy in prayer. We heard about that night and day, night and day. Ask, seek, knock. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. In everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, listen, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But something happened in Anna's life as a centurion, a centenary, how do you say it, 100-year-old? Just let's say she's 100 years old, okay? And through all those years, all those maybe lonely, desolate, sometimes discouraging years, she never quit. She never turned back. And God did something marvelous here at the end of her life. And how I like to phrase it is that our God is able to turn dead dreams into a living hope. Dreams can die, but there's something that lives forever. And she saw Jesus. And in verse 38, it says, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Everything changed in just one moment in time. It can happen in a heartbeat. It happens that way in salvation, does it not? Everything changes. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It happens that way when we're saved. Our life is transformed. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of marvelous light. We're now a child of God. It happens that way with answered supplication. Prayer is that way, and we just keep praying, and we keep pouring our heart out to God. And when God breaks through and we see the answer, what a wonderful, glorious thing that is. I guarantee you something else. It's going to be that way at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everything will be changed. You know what? You maybe will wake up that morning discouraged. You might wake up that morning and look at your Apple News on your iPhone and say, oh man, what a wicked, awful world we're living in. And little did you know that Jesus was returning that day. You know, I think if we knew Jesus was returning tomorrow, we probably wouldn't be reading any of the news headlines. We'd have our nose stuck in this book. Yeah. And we wouldn't be too discouraged, would we, if we knew Jesus was coming tomorrow. But he is coming, and everything's going to change on that day. And it all changes with the one person of Jesus Christ. It says Anna spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna had a life of many broken dreams. But it didn't matter that day she saw Jesus. Because her greatest dream was fulfilled. She saw her Savior. I wonder what it must have been like to be around Anna in those days. I mean, she could not do anything but think or talk about Jesus. She would have been glowing. She would have been the youngest 100-year-old woman you ever saw. And wouldn't you agree with me that everything does change when we meet Jesus? A brand new life. And so, I don't know where you are tonight. I don't really understand in God's plan of things why he had me bring this particular message. But if you're at that point in your life where you've suffered a loss, a discouraging circumstance, a dream, a vision that you had that seems to have died, I want you to understand something. You can go on serving God. And you can live to see your greatest dreams fulfilled. If your dreams are caught up in the person of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for these few moments together. We pray your blessing upon your word. And Lord, the message yet to follow tonight, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.